Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The future of almost everything. Local analysis on national issues, unique technology and community trends and takes on important business news. That's what we do on the Thursday show. Today, as always, a wide variety of topics. We'll go competitive eating and sponsorship integration, going green at Summerfest, the future of dining rooms and area homes, Apple AI, likes on social media, ooh, food trucks on Capitol Drive. There's some breaking news there that we'll discuss, and more. We are here in the present to give you a view into the future. But as I posted on X this morning from the very wise Abe Lincoln, the best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time. So I appreciate Steve Glenn and Martin Moore for coming in another day on a beautiful Thursday here in Milwaukee. As always, if you want to chime in as we talk, the WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Let's begin. Father's Day weekend is this weekend. A fun show for tomorrow. Just a little tease. I have a hardware store manager, possibly a barbershop owner, a golf story, and a longtime men's store retailer. That's some serious dad stuff
That's
tomorrow.
That's screaming Father's Day right there.
It is tools, haircuts, golf, and ties. Like, you can't get more dad than
right
that.
On.
But it led me to think, who's the current, or who is the father of Milwaukee?
Great question.
What are your thoughts? Steve Glenn, you want to start?
This is one, it's a question of, that gets to the one of the few things that really bothers me about Milwaukee. And that it's this. There is no one voice, person, or even two that are leading the charge on telling Milwaukee's story. There's a lot of things happening behind the scenes. There's a lot of great work organizations like Visit Milwaukee is doing. But no one is out front leading the charge, telling everyone how great this city is in a very vocal, public, visible way.
How dare you? You obviously don't cruise my Instagram and YouTube.
Behind the scenes, yeah.
No, I think that's a very good point. I think today it's more of a collaborative Milwaukee leadership model. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could say that with a more collaborative Milwaukee fatherhood model. Lots of leaders working together. But some days I 100% agree that I think we need kind of a big, bold personality that's doing the good dad or mom stuff out front in a very personable, public manner.
Yes, agreed.
So who could that be? Martin?
Oh, man. I can think. I have a laundry list of people who are doing things who are cheerleaders for this city.
There are a lot, but on a national scale, someone who is really visible. Unless I'm missing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously you have Mayor Johnson, County Executive Crowley, but they're elected officials, and you
sure that's their
not
job.
To discount it, but you expect that leadership, and they're both amazing. You have people like former developer Gary Gruno, who was a civic champion and a developer and involved in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. He was great.
Yeah, you have the Marcus family, mm-hmm. Dave, Greg, and Steve, I think are really good fits into this model. Maybe Bishop Hines and his family at Christian Faith Fellowship Church on 86th and Good Hope. But I asked this question of a lot of people at meetings this morning, or this week, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I got one name. Any guesses?
Solomon Juneau.
Solomon Juneau came up several times. I'm like, yeah, Solomon, though, he's shining down upon us, but probably not involved in the current state of the matters.
Yeah. If we're being historically accurate.
Right, correct.
Yes. Another name that came up, and then we got to get to break. A lot of people said, well, Jeff, of course, it's Bob Uecker. I'm like, well, yeah, there's
if
leadership.
If you like baseball,
if you like baseball, and, a passionate, positive voice always, and, someone that hits multiple generations. So I think, Bob Uecker could be in the running for father of Milwaukee for sure.
It definitely came to mind on my list, but I thought he's too much general and not focused just on promoting the city and all its benefits.
All right. Well, keep that in mind as we get into the Father's Day weekend this weekend. When we come back from the break, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, but maybe some craziness in the sponsorship and competitive eating game. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
You say Kikuchi. I say Kikachi.
Welcome back to The Upswing. The future of almost everything is this Thursday show. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn join us as always. The future of hot dogs. We're in the summer season here. Competitive eating contests. If you didn't hear, Joey Chestnut's deal with Impossible Foods means he's going to miss the annual 4th of July contest that's sponsored by Nathan's Hot Dogs. Now, Impossible Foods, you guys had Impossible Foods, plant-based meat alternative burgers and hot dogs?
Nope.
I haven't. No? I've always wanted to try it just to see.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know,
is it convincing?
It really is. They grill really nicely, put them in the air fryer. Yeah, it's like a garden burger.
Here's the thing about fake meat.
No, Steve's not buying it.
It's like if you buy bad vodka. You put enough other stuff on it, and you can't tell the difference. You can't tell me that there's someone that has rail vodka, and then it's got a bunch of other, it's got cranberry juice and all this other stuff. You can't tell me that you can tell that that's rail vodka.
But if there's good vodka right next to it.
If you can't taste it, who cares? You load that fake burger up with enough ketchup and onions and a couple slices of cheese, and you can't tell.
So he did not announce the details of his relationship with Impossible Foods, but a lot of posts are saying that, you know, sadly, this is a decision Nathan's and Major League Eating are making, and it will deprive the great fans of the holiday's usual joy in entertainment. That's what he posted on his X account. By the way, Joey Chestnut holds the world record for eating 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes in 2021, and has won the 4th of July competition every year since 2016. What's your favorite local Wisconsin-based brand of hot dog? We're all about the local business
here
on the
Upswing. That's a very personal question.
Where I go for a dog?
That's right. Where you go?
1,000% Martino's.
Martino's?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm all in on Usinger's.
About who actually makes them.
Who makes them?
Yes.
There's a lot of places that serve them, but where are you finding the local made hot dog
You're going to laugh at mine.
All right.
Corner of Wisconsin and Water Street. Right in front of Chase Tower, that dude at lunchtime has that little, just a little hot dog cart. It's probably Oscar Mayer or whatever, but boy, it hits. It hits when you're hungry. And when I used to vlog and I'd be walking around the city on my lunch break, I'd get hungry and I'd just walk up to him. It was like a buck. I'd snag it.
There's magic in that cart.
Delicious. Yeah. I'm basic, though. I like just a plain old hot dog. So
really? Yeah. All the Chicago dog fixings.
A little mustard, and that's it. A second hot dog is just, I don't know. I'm going to have one, and I'm done.
Can I ask you a personal question, John?
Oh, of course you can.
How many hot dogs do you think you could eat?
I don't.
Oof. Like with all the works in the bun?
Just ketchup, mustard.
Two or three in a
city. Three, you think?
Yeah.
I could go four.
You think you could do four hot dogs?
Yeah, I think so. At least.
We might have to. We should have a Upswing hot dog eating competition. Throw on real cash, like a poker game.
I can't. I'm not going to go fast on it. I'll sit back and eat it.
I mean, the business implications of a contest like this, the people tune in to see the superstar, right?
Sure, right?
I mean, that's what it's all about.
Is that on
to ESPN?
Yeah, I was just going to say,
ESPN,
is that on ESPN
on the 4th of July? Yes. And, you know, obviously he's making more money with a sponsorship that he's like, all right, I'm done for a while. You raise the buzz. Everyone's talking about it. But I don't know. Where does that take the future of competitive eating? Maybe it's just time to kind of table the sport and move on.
I'll be honest with you. I could care less. Yeah, you want to know how many hot dog eating competitions I've watched in my entire life?
Zero.
Grand total of zero. But hey, different strokes for different folks.
That is true.
Everyone's got their kink.
What is your favorite eating contest? Do you have one? Anyone?
No.
My favorite is the ice cream eating contest at the Admirals games.
So you have more than one.
Because you get brain freeze on that. Yeah.
That's intense. That's a creative sponsorship integration, too, right? There. Like, the Admirals do a great job.
They do.
Those that are interested, through May, out at the ballpark at American Family Field, the hot dog is currently in second place at the ballpark in the great sausage race. The brat has 3 wins, chorizo 2, hot dog 7, Italian sausage winning so far. Again, rankings through May with 8 wins. For what it's worth, Vienna beef is the official hot dog out there. Pretty good, too, even with their Chicago roots.
I would love if Potawatomi, you could like sports bet on the sausages. Ooh, at AmFam.
Yeah.
There's no way you can't, right?
That would be awesome. If they don't, hey, if you're listening, Potawatomi,
let's make it happen.
I just opened up a whole new source of revenue.
Put it on the list when we come back from the break. Is the future of cup stacking dead at Summerfest? We'll discuss. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
So hand me one more. That's what I'm here for. I'm built for having a ball. I love the nightlife. I love my Bud Light. I like them cold and tall.
Welcome back to The Upswing. Steve, Glenn, Martin Moore join us today. The future of almost everything. The future of Summerfest, which begins next weekend on Milwaukee's beautiful lakefront. This week, they revealed a new reusable souvenir cup, which will be available for purchase throughout the 3 weekends of the festival. It will be available for just $5. You purchase the cup, and you also get $1 off all refills of draft beer during Summerfest. Reusable cup can be purchased right when you walk in throughout different locations at the Line and Kugel Bar, U.S. Cellular Connection Stage, Keg and Cask, and the Terrapin Trailer right there on the Lake Walk. Is $1 off a beer enough incentive to really shift mindsets?
Depends how much beer you drink. and Milwaukeeans drink a lot of beer. True. I mean, that could be $15, $20 in savings.
Yes. There's a collector's item kind of thing built in here, too. You know, get your souvenir cup from every year of Summerfest. But why not? Save a buck. It's easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good design to it. Kind of has a glass-type look to it. Has, like, a bubbly feel to it. It looks marquee, if you will, and official. You know, I just hope that people, if you're going to spend the $5 on it and you're going to use it for the refills, you take it with you and use it for the intended purpose and not just throw it away.
So can you use it like every day? Like you can bring it back?
I believe you can, but I'm not 100% sure.
That would be nice.
That would be stellar.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, you look at the, I'm just going to read one of the quotes from the City of Milwaukee Environmental Collaboration Office of Sustainability. Cheers to Summerfest for leading by example and reducing plastic waste. Milwaukee's Environmental Collaboration Office, ECO, encourages all festivals and events to consult our Green Events Guide for a fun and eco-friendly summer. So, you got to lead by example. I think if you're really going to make this impactful, you just say, hey, everyone's got to do this, and then you 100% get away from the paper cups.
I mean, it's a boatload of plastic, and we're not Las Vegas. We can't just bury it in the middle of the desert. It's got to go to Menominee Falls or wherever. So, I mean, if you can eliminate just that over the course of a decade, I mean, that's a boatload of plastic if you think about it. And that's just cups. You're not even talking about forks or, the little styrofoam plates and all that crap.
Yeah. And obviously people love to go around the grounds and stack the cups and, get there 10, 12, and probably be drinking that many beers anyway.
Like a trophy
look at how much.
What would really be cool is if they had a set amount of, we're going to make 500 or 100 of super unique ones just for 2024 or 2025, and then they randomly get handed out to people, and, then you can go sell it on eBay
create some luxury
$1 trillion.
That's a good idea.
That'd be a cool idea.
Yeah. But who's actually going to keep those cups? People are just going to throw them away anyway.
I don't know. Everybody's got their thing. Some people watch hot dog eating contests. Some people collect Summerfest cups. You never know.
Right. The key to it is, I got a can, a beer koozie from Summerfest a couple weeks ago. And the designs they're rolling out with this year are really awesome.
I'm going to have to go look. And see
so if that's on a cup, you're going to want to keep it. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, Summerfest is also doing a lot to continue to improve sustainability, increasing their green efforts throughout the whole festival. Yeah, you know, a lot of on-site sorting, different recycling facilities, adding more receptacles, encouraging patrons to use public transit. So there's a lot of things going on to rise the tides of the green awareness down at Summerfest. Shifting gears a little bit, how do you use your dining rooms in your homes?
I love this conversation.
Yeah.
So me and my wife, we've been in our house for 15 years, and we never used our dining room. We have a really nice 1939 typical house. It has like the built-in glass cabinets, and we just never used it. We had a dining room table in there, and so a couple of years ago, we had Custom Cottage MKE, big shout out, make a bar height circular table, and we got some stools, and we eat there every night. We have wine. We play Scrabble on it.
In the dining room?
In the dining room.
Oh,
we
nice.
Use our dining room. It's probably next to the living room, the second most used room in our house. And it went from never being used. We were actually looking for new houses and condos that don't have a dining room. And now I can't even imagine not having it, all because of this table.
Well, and I've heard from a lot of local contractors and builders that, you know, kind of the dining room is dying. And
yeah,
new construction or even renovations, people are saying, you know what? We don't use the dining room for its intended purpose anymore. Yeah. There are more creative ways for us to use it.
The space.
Let's rebuild it.
We have, on our house is kind of a weird layout. We have two living rooms on either end of the house, one on either end of the house. And in the middle is our little dining room. It's kind of small, but it's been converted into a playroom for our 5-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And that's it. There's like tons of toys in there.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal even had a piece that, hey, the dining room, the modern dining room is disappearing from American homes.
Mm-hmm.
The classic walled off dining room is getting harder to find in single family homes, and it's probably not going to be missed. I mean, you look at our family. Yes, we want to sit down a couple days a week for sure for a family dinner, but we're using the space for other reasons.
I think it's one of those things where once you sort of think outside the box, like me and my wife did, and said, okay, how would we use our dining room? And then we're like, well, let's get a table that we sit up high. We feel like we're at a bar. And you sort of expand what a typical dining room is. I think you might actually use it. I know we did.
It's brilliant.
All right. Coming up next, the future of the Apple Watch and Apple's integration of AI.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo. Domo.
Welcome back to The Upswing, the Thursday show, the future of almost everything. Business, technology, trends, and more. Apple's entry into AI and their new partnership will have a lot of implications moving forward. First, let's talk about the future of the Apple Watch. New insights, new metrics, more live features, more workouts are coming. The new Watch OS 11 update due out later 2024 is going to introduce vitals as well. So more emphasis on health, heart rate, respiratory rate, sleep duration, blood oxygen levels, all things that I get on my Whoop band and then integrate into my iPhone. But I think it's great that Apple continues to evolve into the medical and health space, because I think that's the biggest application. Is that how you use your watch, Martin?
Yeah, I mean, 50% of my watch is workouts and monitoring my heart rate and checking for AFib and blood oxygen and all that stuff. It's nice to have those metrics and to be aware of your health. So many people meander around planet Earth, you know, eating cheeseburgers and sitting on their couch watching Netflix, waiting for type 2 diabetes to pop up and then do something about it. It makes you proactive. It makes you aware of your body, and you only get one body. And so I'm a big fan of anything Apple does to advance that technology and give people more resources and tech to monitor that stuff and stay on top of it.
Yeah. And look, Steve, I was just going to say, I just wish my Apple Watch would connect to my AirPods in an easier way.
Well, it's coming.
My watch is a means to music.
Okay.
And it's always fighting my phone for who gets the AirPods. And it's really annoying.
Hmm. I find the syncability, if you will, with my Whoop Fitness Band and my Apple products works really well. Every now and then you got to reconnect, but it's fairly seamless.
Yeah.
One thing that's really cool, Apple Maps now is going to offer hikes at all U.S. national parks that can be saved to the Apple Watch and accessed offline. And you, then you have all the guidance, even without your iPhone nearby. That's cool. So that's cool that they're kind of taking it away.
Is it Apple Maps? You know what I don't want Apple Maps doing?
Apple Maps is getting
telling
better.
You where to go.
Get it on my hike when I'm in the middle of nowhere and there's bears. Almost,
I like
almost
Apple Maps.
Getting me to the destination.
All right. Well, let's talk about the bigger partnership. Apple's partnered with OpenAI and its ChatGPT, calling it Apple Intelligence, which is really super creative. Like, ooh, AI. Ooh, AI means
of
Apple.
Of course, their business
course
name
Apple.
Begins with the letter
Good
A.
Good job. You know, a bit of a kind of a second mouse getting the cheese here, because Google and Samsung already do a lot of this on their phones. But that kind of seems like the way that Apple wants to roll, and they can really consumerize the AI use. A more grown-up Siri. Siri's kind of one of those things. I think there's a love-hate relationship with Siri often.
No, there's just a hate relationship.
No, primarily
no one,
hate.
You will never find anyone that says, you know what I love?
Siri.
Hot dogs, summer days
a
on
beer,
Lake Michigan,
a cold
and Siri.
Beer and
using
talking
Siri.
To Siri.
We'd be able to integrate workflow across all apps now. More form fills. So when you're filling out forms on your iPhone, boom, your driver's license can integrate. You don't have to be a subscriber to ChatGPT to integrate it into your phone. It will be automatically integrated again. Summarizing your writing, adding tonality to it. I think that's, you know, a big implication. Recording phone calls. Did you hear that?
Yes.
That's pretty cool, because I think a lot of people feel like, ooh, that's a good way to summarize a business call.
Yeah.
But you'll be alerted, or the user on the other side will get an alert when I press the
record.
You're being recorded.
That's cool.
But it will seamlessly integrate.
I like that.
Yes. And then prioritize notifications too. Right now, we all get so many notifications. AI will be able to know us a little bit better and put the important stuff up top.
At the top.
I like it.
So,
like it.
But of course, you got to upgrade your device.
Oh, of course.
Because
iPhone 15
it's not
going to
work without
only.
An iPhone 15 Pro.
Anyway, as by design. I like it. Apple's always been using AI is, when we talk about AI, it's a very general term. It's like saying vehicle. You know, there's lots of vehicles. There's snowmobiles, cars. And Apple's always been using AI. They use machine learning in the Apple Watch. They use it in the iPhone. When you're talking to Amazon chat, that's a version of AI. What Apple's really introducing is generative AI, which is where you can be like, I want a picture of Steve and, you know, Jeff Sherman skateboarding, on a whale in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and it can create that for you. And then, you know, obviously with the OpenAI and the ChatGPT, being able to reorganize and rewrite things for you, those are going to be two new features. But Apple's always had some version of AI and machine learning in all of their devices. But this will be interesting. One thing I'm really worried about with the future of ChatGPT is someone who uses it is as it becomes more ubiquitous. We're going to have a lot of communication with people who seem much more intelligent than they really are, and get into business situations where you meet up with someone and then you start talking and you're like, you really don't know what you're talking about, and you're a little bit dumber than you
seem
to be.
Save that thought. We'll go to break. We'll talk a little bit more about AI when we come back, and the future of likes on social media. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, join us. The future of almost everything. Steve, you had a good point as we were discussing AI over the break that, you know, will the best of the best continue to rise above everyone else and continue to be the best when we all have so many tools to make our writing and our creativity even sharper? Do you see concerns there?
I have less of a concern, I think, than a lot of people I talk to, because, you know, I have Canva and I can tell Canva, I can use AI aspects of Canva to make things or write things, or I can have shortcuts to design. And I still, my designs compared to a designer look like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the same eye. I don't have the same background and I have the same education.
I mean, it's going to enhance skill sets and make things better, but you still have to have the basic knowledge
to get there and kind of the core creativity. But
at least for now, right?
Right now.
At least for now.
We're only a year or two into this. And look at how good it is. Just wait 5 years from now, 10 years from now. We're going to have a completely different conversation even 3 years from now about how good AI can get, because it's constantly learning. It's not like it's just like a human brain. It keeps getting information in, and it keeps growing and gets smarter and learns
and
what not to do.
Remembers everything.
At some point, we're going to see AI generated images of people with not six fingers. It's going to get smart, and so it's going to be a completely different conversation. And I'm genuinely worried, not in like some weird conspiracy theory way. Like, I'm genuinely worried about it.
Well, and we talk a lot about recruitment and retention on the show, and it's going to impact what we're seeing in terms of resumes and emails coming in, that we may just have to raise an eyebrow like, ooh, is this candidate really as good as they say they are?
That'll be a problem. And what you're going to need is AI to sniff resumes to look for AI.
Right. All right, I have a question for you guys on this topic. How is this different? And I'm not asking in a kind of like getcha kind of way. How is this different than when the World Wide Web came out and everyone was like, oh no, we'll never use the web and the web is scary and you can't put your information. How is this different?
It's not. But it's not different than that. But what is similar is that, you know, the human race has a knack for creating things and putting us on a road that we can't make a U-turn and go back. Like, once you open up something like the World Wide Web, where you can Google anything and have information at the tips of your fingers, of course you're going to want to use it. Of course human beings are going to want to cheat code and a shortcut
for
writing.
But people were scared then, right? People were scared of the tech then, just like some people are scared of the tech now. And I'm trying to figure out, is there really something to worry about?
Oh, yeah. The internet.
There's the tip of the sphere that might be something to worry about, but
it's not like the World Wide Web is this rosy place where everyone sings Kumbaya and holds hands and is nice to each other. The World Wide Web is responsible for many, many, many bad things that human beings have done and can do. And
but
so,
how many good?
To me, the internet's a 51-49, and AI will probably be the same thing. Remember when everyone was scared of cameras on smartphones and your picture is going to be everywhere? Right. And human beings have a knack too for just brushing that kind of stuff, their privacy and all that stuff. And if it makes your life convenient, and if it can create a cheat code for you to make money or get a job or mow your lawn faster, we'll do it, because human beings are inherently lazy.
And ultimately, all the AI companies are going to want to further monetize and create more partnerships and take care of their shareholders, which is fine, which is what business is all about. But I think the user wants guardrails, and that will be interesting how we accomplish that moving forward. All right, when we come back from the break, we'll wrap up our conversation with Steve Glenn, Martin Moore. Couple fun topics coming up. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. The Sherman family, we live in the North Shore. But the Mineshaft in Hartford is a staple, pretty easy to get to, only like 40, 45-minute drive. When the kids want that huge $2 million game room, getting them out of the attic, getting them away from the Xbox, great pizza. Mom and Dad can sit at the bar and talk. The kids can get to the game room knowing that they're safe, hanging out on their own. Caller number 9 at 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. And friendly reminder that Thursdays, that is today, feature buy one, get one free pizza. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, the future of likes for those that use X and Twitter. The social media platform is now hiding your likes. In an update posted on the platform yesterday, the engineering team said it is, quote, making likes private for everyone to better protect your privacy. That means that users still will be able to see their own likes when you post, but others will not. Kind of putting an end to a bit of that pride feature that's been there on the platform for a long time. Always something new in social media, but what do you think of this, Martin?
I mean, I could go on a 20-minute diatribe about this.
Like it or love it. Or love it or hate it.
I hate it. I think it's dumb for myriad reasons, especially coming from the dude, Elon Musk, who, like, just loves to cheerlead for, like, everything being open and transparent. And here's one reason why I don't like it, because we don't have a lot of time. You can already create fake verified accounts with now being able to pay for a blue check. Now you can have a fake verified account, and you can go pay and have a bunch of fake likes on it. And there's no way to check and balance some of these accounts who spread misinformation on the internet. And so it's a problem. And I think it's stupid. There's also been lots of people who have been caught doing nefarious things because, you know, the Twitter mob has gone and checked what people have been liking. And then, you know, people have been caught for all kinds of crazy stuff, which I won't get into. You can Google it yourself. And I think it's just... I don't know. I think it's dumb and unnecessary, but whatever. I don't own Twitter, so
that's right. We continue to use it as a platform to get information and to share information, whether or not it's liked or not. I guess that's up to somebody else. Steve, what are your thoughts?
I couldn't be happier.
You like it.
I just two nights ago watched my daughter completely obsess over likes on her Instagram posts. And I'm like, this is not...
But that's different, though.
I think this is a step in the right direction to get us less concerned about what people think when we don't even care about those people.
Yeah. You still see the number of likes. You just can't see who likes
exactly,
it.
Exactly, right.
I think it's a good step in that direction.
Yeah. It's probably a step still to something. You always... Decisions like this, you got to look at, all right, what are the next two decisions coming? And I'm sure there's further innovation coming. Like, so it's the post should not be about, hey, how many likes can they get? It should be about the information you're serving.
Yes.
That's aspirational, of course, but...
I'd like to see them do what Instagram did, where you have the option to hide your like count. Or YouTube now, they got rid of, you can't see how many likes something has.
Love it.
That I would prefer more than hiding, you know. Because now what it does is it gives closet racists and everybody to go around and do whatever they want and like whatever they want without any sort of repercussion. And it creates problems.
All right. We got to wrap it up just quickly after a brief hiatus. Food and vendor trucks are making a comeback this Saturday to West Capitol Drive in Milwaukee. That was just announced today. Coming up next is you've been listening to The Upswing.